Again, dear participants of Glamour of Reading. In this podcast, I and Celine Akay will talk about Prose and Squid. Prose and Squid is written by Marianne Wolf, and in this book, writer seeks answers to the questions like how occurred the first reading, how brain learns to read, what happens if it doesn't learn, how works the brain that read differently, and how the things we read change us. The chapter I took in our class presentation was Gens, Gifts, and Dyslexia. This chapter is about successful people with dyslexia. How can they be so talented? Theories about how does work brain of dyslexics and the reason of failure in reading. And my part was about talented and famous people who had dyslexia. For example, Thomas Edison, Leonardo da Vinci, Agatha Christie, etc. The message of my part was that the ones with dyslexia can't be successful, talented, or creative because of their failure in reading isn't true. I think this message is vitally important because most of people are confused and don't think that failure in writing, reading, or in other similar brain activities isn't an obstacle for being successful. I even was thinking, how could a person who couldn't read be more successful than a person who could read? But after reading Prose and Squid, my perspective about this situation has changed. But unfortunately, there is still people in the society who see dyslexics as useless. There, a big responsibility fall upon to the especially teachers because the students who had dyslexia are ignored and even can't be realized. As writer states in the last page, it is our job, not theirs, to find out how best to teach them. To make it clear in your minds, I want to tell you two scenarios for dyslexics' creativity. These two scenarios were stated by Alga Laburda, he's a neurologist, and he says the first scenario is that the problems in left hemisphere force the brain to use right hemisphere more, which causes it to be stronger in terms of cognition. And the second scenario is that right hemisphere is more dominant and creative from the start in terms of cognition. So what are your thoughts about Prose and Squid, Celine?
There are no reading-specific genes, but this doesn't mean that there are no genes linked to weakness in some of the older regions, which form the reading brain and which are potentially linked to strengths in others. 8 years ago, Samuel Orton presented the hypothesis about the failure of the brain's two hemispheres to integrate their stored images. More than 50 years later, Gershwin listed 13 conclusions about dyslexia that he and Orton shared and that should be incorporated into an explanation of dyslexia. Beginning with the genetic basis of dyslexia and possible structural differences in brain organization, the list included special talents found in affected family members and also in some unaffected relatives, and unexpected ability to read accurately well upside down or in a mirror. Other traits like dysgraphia, which is an unusual speech and motor findings that aren't expressed in every case, but that need more intensive exploration, such as stuttering, clumsiness, and emotional issues. And slowness in the acquisition and development of speech and language systems. Dyslexics are frequently endowed with high talents in many areas, and this is no accident. According to Gershwin observations, if certain changes on the left side of the brain lead to superiority of other regions, particularly on the right side of the brain, then there will be little disadvantage to the career of such changes in literate society. Their talents will make them highly successful citizens. Gershwin and his student Galaburda set up a brain bank, which became the repository of preserved brains of individuals with dyslexia. This led to discovery that continues to have implications for the current findings from right hemisphere imaging. In most people, the plenum temporal, that is an area on the temporal lobe involved in language, is larger in the left hemisphere than in the right. Galaburda and Kemper found that this asymmetry was not present in the brains of adults with dyslexia. Rather, the two hemispheres were symmetric, because the right hemisphere plenum temporal was larger than usual. Galaburda and his team took these findings as an indication that lateralization is not completed or not the same in dyslexia. They suggested that the atypically large right hemisphere plenum temporal might result from a reduction of the natural pruning of cells that occurs during parental development. This could lead to increased numbers of plenum temporal neurons that form new connections in the right hemisphere and the whole new cortical architecture in dyslexia. In the book, dyslexia is seen as a gift, contrary to public thought that is mostly known as illness or deficit. So the book has a positive vibes on dyslexia. And the writer proves her claims by using scientific evidences, and it increases the credibility of the topic. The book hasn't changed my perspectives of life, but it broadened my views on dyslexic people, because I saw that they achieve more than I think, and they're more successful than most of us, in spite of the problems they face in society, and dyslexia is a real gift bestowed on them. We have come to the end of the episode. That's all from us for now. It was a pleasure to be with you in this podcast. Greetings from the Istanbul University Cerrahpaşa ELT students Selin and Dilan.